Welcome and hello, everybody. This is the REI Society podcast, where we are informing you everything real estate and business related so that you can be successful in REI investing. We're sharing the tools, tips, and stories from people who have already made it. And my name is Brandon Thompson, your host. Each week, we'll bring extraordinary guests so that you can learn real estate from the best.
Welcome, REI Society. I'm just going to be vulnerable today and have no ulterior motive. I have no notes. I am not teaching necessarily real estate education in this episode, but I am going to share from the heart. So here I am, 38 years old, 2020, started in this business at 20 years old. And by 2000, or I'm sorry, by 22 years old, not 2002, by 22 years old, from 20 to 22, I had 20 rental properties. And then I started flipping homes, doing 10 to 15 a year. I was teaching people how to do what I was doing, and I was changing lives. And it was great. And then the market crashed. I was probably making well over six figures. I don't remember exactly the income. I guess I could go look at my last several tax returns. I burn them every 10 years. Once a tax return hits the 10th year, I burn them. So I don't even have tax returns that old anymore. They say that you don't have to, unless you're just really, really evading taxes and doing something wrong, the IRS can go back. But they say you don't really need them after 10 years. And I'm all about minimalism. Honestly, you come to my house, it's going to be very minimalistic. We have stuff, but for the most part, everything has a purpose. And my tax returns don't have a freaking purpose. And I don't care to remember them before 2008 because it's a whole different ballgame now. Yeah. I was flipping houses. I was teaching people how to do this. I became a lender and I did that for about a year. Had just having a blast, I think from what I remember. But at the same time, I was busy as shit. My wife tells me I was there, but I feel like I wasn't there for my oldest daughter at a younger age. I guess I was, but I was always the first person on the cell phone. Back when they had holsters for your belt and stuff. I was a real estate agent, you know, serving the public, and I was an investor, and I had a cell phone attached to me as part of my body, and every time that phone rang, I'd be on it. So yeah, maybe I was there, but was I there mentally? And that's what I was wanting to talk about. Are you there mentally in your own life? Are you there present in your life or with your family, your friends? Are you really paying attention to what is most important and sharing with them how you feel? You know, me, I've always been a tough bastard. Like, I'm a bulldog at best. I feel like I'm a bulldog. I have a bulldog spirit. Anything I set my mind to, I'm going to bite hold of it. If I have clear vision, I'm going to bite hold of it. And I'm never going to let go. And whether I get there instantly or years later, I'm going to get there, damn it. And that's something that I always took pride in. And I put that on a pedestal, not worshiping a false idol or anything, but I put that on a pedestal. Like, I'm going places. And I grew up in the church. And I wouldn't say grew up. I didn't grow up in the church. I went to church as a high schooler. My mom and dad started going to church. It was actually my mom. She started taking us to church, and I got a lot of the Christian doctrine into me at that point, and it probably changed my life for the good. But yeah, I got to the point where I realized that I was at a place where I wanted to do really, really well. And I would go to church back then, and people would prophesy to me, whether you believe in prophecy or not. That's beyond the scope of this episode. I'm not bringing doctrine into an episode, but I would have people, speakers, come in and tell me I'm going to be a multimillionaire. Tell me I'm going to do this and that. And man, I just took it with heart. I took it with heart, and that made my dream that much stronger. God was verifying what I felt in my spirit through other people talking to me, is what I felt at the time. And man, I kept going. I kept going. I kept going. And then, you know, 2008 hit and you lose everything. And you're like, gosh, what happened? It burned. It all came crumbling down to the ground. just like it did with many people. But for me, I went bankrupt. I lost 20 houses. I went from a high six figure. Well, I wouldn't say high six figures, high 150, 180,000, maybe 200,000 at best six figure income. For me at the time it was high. Now I make it over seven figures and I don't feel like that's enough, but you know, I mean, my God, that's where I'm at. I watched everything crash and burn, and this may be one of my most vulnerable episodes because I really want to just talk and have no purpose here other than just what's on my heart. But yeah, I crashed and burned, and I got to the point where I didn't want to talk to anybody. I've always, in school, I was an introvert, but an extrovert because I wanted to be the cool kid, and some of my closest friends were a little bit more extroverted, and I attached to them, and you know, I always found myself hanging out with people that were slapstick comedy type of people. And that made me the comic as well. And I, even though I played sports and I was part of marching band, I was probably considered a cool kid, but I was also a nerdy kid too. And, you know, now being a nerd is completely fine. But for me back then, you know, I didn't really know who my people were. I didn't know who I was. I didn't have a good self-identity in my teens and then going into my 20s. I just knew that I didn't know where I wanted to go, and real estate found me ass backwards. I mean, I knew that I wanted to do more. I wanted to make more money. And as a late teen and early 20, back when Borders were around, we had a Borders in our local mall. I would go in there and look at franchise magazines every freaking day. And I was reading through it. What can I afford? What can I afford? Oh, God, dude, all these freaking franchises are so expensive. I didn't know what to do. So guess what? I started selling pizzas. I got hooked up with a friend. We were selling pizzas from a Domino's and a Little Caesars, both. We flip-flopped them. But we would go up to the owners of the owners of the businesses and say, hey, can we buy your pizzas at cost plus $1? And we started flipping pizzas. I would take these pizzas for $2 cost is what they were back then. I don't know what the inflation is with the cost of a pizza, but it was single topping pizza. We'd do ground beef and cheese, or we do pepperoni and cheese. We would do whatever else you could put on a freaking pizza. I don't know what else is out there, but then I would buy these from the owner for $3. So he would make a dollar profit. So whatever I took out, I had to pay him $3, but I would drive into Atlanta in these warehouses and sell them right at lunchtime, between $7 to $10. So obviously I had a markup. I was flipping pizzas. I would take them to University of Georgia and I timed it perfectly. And I was selling pizzas to all these hungry college students. And I was making like $1,000 a week as like a 19-year-old. But then you start seeing people in your hometown as you're trying to find more businesses to sell pizzas. And I was flipping pizzas, making probably more money than all these people that I'd run into. But I would see people and I was ashamed. I was ashamed that I had a Domino's shirt on or a Little Caesars shirt on, and I was sweating and had pimples all over, and they're 2 years into their college degree. And it really brought shame down to my life. And, you know, being an introvert, when you have shame because you don't know where you're going, man without vision, man with that lack of vision, you're going to perish. I had no idea where I wanted to go, and I know I'm jumping all over time spans here, prior to 2008, after 2008, now, then, whenever, but teenager, 20s, I'm all over the place, but follow the narrative, because and this is not produced. I have no idea where this is going, talking as I speak, but I'm coming up with this as I speak. But yeah, I was at the point where I just didn't have vision. Then luckily, my wife and I got married and we moved in together. She was working for a metal company that built gutter guards and stuff like that, production wise. And, I got to the point where I just did not, she had the stable job and I was selling pizzas and I was getting really, really highly embarrassed. And I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. So I started driving. I got a job. I got a coffee driving job to be more husbandly, to provide, and not be so lackadaisical or whatever. And I did that for a little while, as well as selling pizzas. I would drive the coffee van, dropping off coffee products all over Atlanta. I was selling pizzas. And then Tiffany and I decided to move out of the apartment we were in, little town home. And it was in that same community that I sold in 2009 and made $100,000 off of. go funny. That's kind of funny story, but or coincidence, but it's true. But yeah, we bought this, we decided we wanted to buy a house. So we bought a house in a new construction subdivision, little 3-2 ranch, 1700 square feet, biggest house I'd ever been in at the time, bigger than an apartment, bigger than the trailer park trailer, bigger than the house I grew up in after my parents moved out of the trailer park and moved us into a little 1200 square foot home, and definitely bigger than what my wife grew up in. And then we were there, but I saw something. I was paying attention to opportunity. I'm an opportunist with strategy, but at the time I didn't have any strategy because I didn't know where I was going. But I saw that this agent that found us a house showed us a couple houses, and you know, maybe we were easy, but I felt like she didn't work. And that was the thing that made me question, like, well, gosh dang it, if she can do this and she isn't that charismatic, well, I can do this and I can be charismatic as heck because I have that comedian inside. Somehow I can make people like me, and I'm young. What do I got to lose? So I got my real estate license. I started working with people for 6 months. Realized that even though I love people, I love serving, I don't like people. That's part of something that you'll probably never hear me say again, but I don't like people. I don't like shallow conversations and surface talk and things like that. Stuff that doesn't go anywhere, that doesn't mean anything. Something that's ingrained to me and birthed in me. And you know, I don't, you know, if I'm around people with shallow talk, I'll make a freaking joke and I'll probably look dumb. I just don't like it. But having a deep conversation, something that's real and has substance, kind of like this conversation, I feel like I'm getting real and substance and meaningful. That's what I like and that's what I desire. And yeah, I'm like, well, my God, if she can do it, I can do it. So I got my license, started practicing real estate. Like I said, I was serving the public for 6 months, and then I realized this is not what I want to do. And I'm like, what else can I do with real estate? You know, I thought about going into flipping homes, you know, but I just didn't know how to do it. So I moved my license from one broker to another broker. And guess what? They were there's two brothers. They were flipping homes and they were doing real estate as an agent. So I learned a lot from those guys. I attached myself to people who knew their game, and they put me in front of a network of people, a couple of lenders. And then I just pushed them to the side. I just kept going. I kept going. Nothing ever stopped me. Nothing ever like got in my way. I just ran with this shit. And now 2008 came. I was making great money. I lost it all. And then after 2008, I was sitting in the fetal position, sucking my thumb, like crying. My wife was holding me because we're going bankrupt. We had threats of lawsuits from banks saying we screwed them over, and which in fact they screwed us over. They were being pushy and pressuring us and opposing us in ways that most people would not even imagine. And all of our accounts were shut down. All of our monies were stripped out. All of our properties were called due. We had our primary home paid down like $7,000. Bastards took my freaking house. But guess what? I learned from it, and I'm not bitter, even though my voice got deeper there. I'm not bitter because guess what? I realized that it wasn't necessarily them. It was me. I didn't know how to invest right. I was young and dumb. I didn't save a lot of money. I spent a lot of money. And when I built it back up for the second time, I realized I got to have savings. I needed to, you know, also have a dream. I realized prior to the recession, I was just working. And then tying this back to the beginning of the story, I was just there doing life, living life, but I wasn't in the moment. It was passing me by. And now I had a second kid in 2009 or 2008, I had a second daughter and I lost everything. And when I started thinking about that, I started asking myself questions. What do I want in life? And the answer was, I didn't freaking know. I didn't want to do anything with the real estate again. I was so burnt out. I didn't want to talk to people. I freaking hated people. So I started a brokerage. I mean, who the freak does that? I didn't want to be in real estate. I didn't want to be around people. So I started a brokerage and I was in real estate and I was around people. I did that. And, you know, probably the best thing that I ever did. You know, I realized that I only knew one thing, and that was residential real estate. And I knew I was still young enough, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, 80-year-olds are out there wholesaling properties. I've listened to the stories. They're making great money. But I was 27, and like, why quit? Maybe at that point I was 28. But why quit? This is something that I gave 7 years of my life to, and I had a skill set. I had more than 10,000 hours. I was just a I won't say a victim of circumstance, because everybody, you know, was a victim in this circumstance, but I was also a victim of dumbassery. I didn't save money. I didn't spend right. So I realized that at the same time, even though 2008 came along like a thief of the night, for most people, for some people, it didn't. They were preparing and pivoting and made sure that it wasn't going to take them out. And those people, man, after I got my property management company built, my brokerage built, I started advertising for foreclosure listings, and the banks would give me listings. I'd have pocket listings. Guess what? Those people that pivoted, that had money, that structured themselves up for success, they had cash, and they bought a lot of those properties from me. Houses for $25,000, $35,000 a piece. Sat on them for years. I watched these guys buy like $1 million in real estate and turn it into like $4 or $5 million in a period of 10 years. And they just now starting to sell them off at the height of the market. Like, who the freak times it like that? Well, obviously they probably set themselves up for success. There's a really good book by a guy named Willie Jolly. It's A Setback is a Setup. It's on my bookshelf here. Setback is a Setup for a Comeback. And man, that was a great book. I read it back in the day and read it again back then. I'm like, you know what? This is going to be my comeback. This is what I'm going to do. I started dreaming again. So going back to the beginning of the conversation, I started dreaming for the first time. I didn't have a dream. I got married quick. Didn't think about it. You know, love Tiffany, but I didn't think about it. I had a baby instantly. Didn't plan it. I got into real estate. Didn't plan it. I started flipping houses. I didn't plan it. I was just addicted to trying to make more money to prove something for some weird reason internally. And then after losing it all, it made me start thinking more. I became more stoic in philosophy and thinking like, oh my God, I got to figure this thing out. I got to dream again. I need to go. I need to have direction. And I started having direction and I started dreaming. And then I partnered up with my former business partner, and we were like sharpening each other's iron. Like, we were freaking chasing the world and going after it, and nothing was going to stop us. And we made hundreds of thousands of dollars year after year after year. We were investing investors' money. And my goal was to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. Guess what? 3 short years after I went bankrupt, I was. By 33, I'd already made my second million. Hell, I haven't looked at my net worth in a long time. I have no idea what I've got now. But I know that, you know, that part doesn't really matter to me anymore. I mean, 2 million, 1 million, 10 million, 5 million, 4, it doesn't really matter. It's all about what's in your head and intentionality. And then I got to the point where I was having success and I started dreaming. For the first time, my wife and I would go walk around in houses, in open houses or new construction homes, and we would always start dream building. And actually, we did that a little bit prior to the recession, but we would look at houses. Like, this is what we want. This is what we want. I built a dream board. I put a red car like 10 years ago on the dream board. I put a nice house, big old white mansion on the dream board, nice vacations on the dream board. Guess what? 10 years later, I've lived those experiences and then some. I've been in France. I've been in Monaco, South France, driving freaking a classic Aston Martin up the French Riviera. We've been in Italy, like drinking wine, fine wine in Tuscany, flown all over the globe, had amazing experiences. I didn't get an exotic car, but I had a little red Mercedes sports car, C350. And it was just a jam up car, drove it. And, you know, I have the big white house. I've got a 6,000 square foot. I wouldn't say it's a mansion, but I got a 6,000 square foot house on 3 acres with a saltwater pool. And, man, I've helped a lot of people. And I'm not meaning that shallow or arrogant. I mean, not shallow. I'm not meaning that arrogantly. I've helped a lot of people in the last couple of years. After my business partner and I split up, which was really, really good for both of us, we put ourselves in position to have capital through strategic partnerships with private capital investors all those years from 2009 to 2018. And we put money in the bank. We had a couple of short-term rentals, vacation homes a piece. We sold all of our properties. We put more money in the bank. And then we went in 2 different ways. And that's fine. But here's the thing. Tying this whole narrative together, I stopped dreaming. The last 2 years, I didn't know what I wanted to do. In fact, I probably still don't know what I want to do. To be honest with you, I have no idea where I'm going. But I'm trying to ask those questions again. Because the more I'm starting to think about it, and the more this is lying on my conscience, the more I realize that I am a product of my environment and the people I hang out with and talk to and associate with. It makes me want to do better. It makes me want to do more. It makes me want to help people like you listening, whoever's listening to this. It makes me want to help society. 2 years ago, I was so broken down, busted, and disgusted, not in a bad way. Had some money, just ended a great partnership. And I wanted to take some time off, but there's something birthed in me like a warrior that made me want to seize the day. I didn't want to take time off. You know, I could have probably took several months off for a year or hell, maybe even longer if I wanted to, but I'm not that guy. I'm probably going to die. I'm probably going to die working, and that's completely okay. I love the work and I love to serve people. But I realized a couple of years ago, like, I only know real estate, and that's not a bad thing. I only know real estate. I started thinking about, well, that's kind of how I felt back when I lost everything. And it's taken me 2 years to realize, man, I got to start dreaming again. I'm looking at my dream board. I still got the old dreams up there. And I realized that I stopped dreaming because I haven't really tried to go after anything. Now, over the last 2 years, I've been cultivating this dream of 100 homes again, 70 long-term rentals, 30 short-term vacation rentals, having a boutique home chain. And I'm going to split off the 30 short-term rentals and I'm going to sell them to a hedge fund or whoever. And I'm going to put tens of millions of dollars in the bank. I'm going to build up REI Society to give people hope, to inspire them, and to educate them along the way. You know, I'm going to have multiple streams of income. We're going to train people up so that they can do more in their own lives. I've seen so many case studies over the last couple of years where people that bought into what I was doing, and who am I to have them buy into what I'm doing? But people bought in my masterclass last year, my masterclass earlier this year, my podcast, which started off as an entrepreneurial podcast. If you listen to the first probably several episodes, 15 episodes, it was long form interviews with any entrepreneur out there that had a chicken soup for his soul story, but it was a gritty version. That was how I was going to do it different. But then I realized my audience is real estate. So that's my passion. In the next couple of years, when I feel like I've done enough episodes with real estate and I've helped enough people, I'm not going to stop real estate. I'm going to always be involved in real estate. I'll probably come up with some kind of new way of educating people. But that's another dream, is to go back to the Rise Above the Ashes stories. But I got to make an impact first. I got to make an impact. I got to help more people. I got to serve more people for people to even want to come and do a show like that with me to tell their inner dirty secrets. I mean, you should listen to some of these first few episodes. People talking about their experience being raped, people talking about losing their first wife in a car accident, and the grief and the struggle. I mean, people losing a limb. Like, this is why I'm doing this. I like seeing people with the bulldog spirit like I have, go grab something and bite it as hard as they can. And then somehow if they don't give up, they succeed. And then I started thinking about it. Like, that's what I do in real estate. I freaking don't give up. And I succeed. Well, guess what? If I can do it, you can do it. And I guess that's the whole story. A lot of my audience are new investors. I probably have some experienced investors listening to this. But hey, if this bozo can do it, then my God, you surely as heck can do it. Just like I said about that real estate agent all those years ago, almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago, she can do it. Well, I know if that bozo can do it, I can do it that much better. My God, if Brandon Thompson, this bozo, can do it, you guys listening can do so much more. I mean, I didn't even have social media. I didn't have all these smart systems with data, all the things that you have available. If I made it, you can make it. Now, that is the story. That's the moral to the story. We're a society of people. That's what I'm envisioning as my dream, a society of people that we up-level one another and we help each other move up that ladder of success. If I'm above you on the rung, I'm going to grab you and pull you up to the same rung or higher than me. And then you look down, you see me, you're going to grab me the same level on the rung on the ladder, and you're going to pull me up. And we're going to keep working each other up the ladder of our success. Eventually, we're going to be on top of the mountain, and we're going to go over that mountain together. And that's what I'm excited about, dreaming again. So I'm going to end this episode with a couple different things. A, I want you to leave this episode and go preactive. Be proactive. Get a notepad out and write 100 dreams, a list of 100 dreams. And then I want you to work through that over the next several days. and realize that there's dreams that's going to take years to go after. And then there's dreams that you can accomplish immediately. So don't scratch off any of them, but go after the dreams that are something that you can attain and have small wins over the next couple of years, and then set goals and targets for these other dreams. And a lot of people believe in goal setting and a lot of people don't. I'm not talking about goals. I'm talking about dreams, your passions, knowing that this is something that you want to accomplish in your life. And guess what? I haven't done it yet. I'm going to do it with you. And you know what? I may do a live stream and we'll talk about some of our dreams together. So guess what? I'm excited. I'm excited for not only me, but for you guys. Because if you have been in a place like me where you were just doing life and you've let life pass you by and you never dreamed, or you had limited dreams, or you didn't have enough dreams, guess what? You're going places, you're going to have those dreams. And let's do this thing together. I'm super excited that we're doing this thing together. I cannot wait. Like, this is going to be the best year yet. We're going into 2021 and it's going to be an amazing year, no matter what's going on in the world. And guess what? If I can do it, you can do it. So let's do it together.